The Final Solution, well, that was done behind the scenes. I'm sure that Israelis, Jews all over the world, and especially in Europe, did not know that there was a team of men that were meeting Nazis that were going to discuss the extermination of a race of human beings. It would involve how they would get rid of millions and millions of a particular race. And the motivation behind it, the drive behind it, was the belief that they were a pig race, a subhuman race, a race taking over the quote, pure Aryan. Is that part of reality? Is that what was really going on? I mean, listen, when we think in terms of the ideology, the belief systems that drove the meeting where men sat and drank and smoked and talked and cussed as they discussed how they would exterminate millions of individuals, the ovens, Auschwitz, Dachau, other places. The Final Solution was, it was a conspiracy, it was a plot, it was motivated, there was belief, ideology, things like that, but where did it come from? I mean, at that moment in history, even though the Jews had been, mistreated and harmed and done very cruel things done, the Final Solution meeting that went on before the development of the camps, the building of the ovens, and the beginning of transporting by stuffing them into trains and taking them there, pulling out the gold, silver, things like that of their teeth, piling it up for use, taking their glasses, whittling them down to basically nothing. Mengele and others, in their ability to what is called in psychology doubling, they would do the most inhumane experiments for the benefit of who? Well, what they considered was the Aryan on the way to God-men race. The Final Solution was not known. The Jews at that point did not know that there was a great and incredible betrayal. That, that plot and plan was done, and that, they didn't even know they were going off to the camps as far as being stuffed into ovens. But there were those who did know, those who did plot, those who did give the orders, those who did do the welding and putting of the ovens together, the barracks, and the rest. The Final Solution. What went on behind the scenes before Auschwitz? It's very similar to today because you and I, as we engage, you know, what's happening in the world around us, please understand that there is plot, there's plan. And as far back as Psalm chapter 2, God revealed 3,000 years ago our current developments, that there would be kings of the earth, political and military leaders, that would be conspiring. That nations would be conspiring, that in a critical mass, the peoples would be conspiring, that there would be a conspiracy, a plot, a plan, a rage behind it. It involved them taking their stand against God and against God's Messiah. 3,000 years ago, God even gave in advance what they would be saying, what they would be feeling, what they would be plotting. And in that 3,000-year-old prophecy as of today, God also gave a warning, an invitation to get out of it, even now. We're doing a series right now that's called Behind the Scenes of History. The Past, the Present, and the Near Future. This is Russ Dizdar, July the 8th, 2010. Not too far away, again, from the 2012ers' anticipations. Last night late, I stayed up and watched the mystery of the Crystal Skulls, once again tied into the famous Mayan civilization. Again, all the accolades about it and the assumptions that alien race Well, there was a Guatemalan, a Mayan of today, that believes that the behind-the-scenes non-human presence that would be behind the crystal skulls and all that they're about were not, they were extra-dimensional. That I can agree with. See, there's no question the reality of the extra-dimensional. They are so completely, absolutely real. So when we talk about the fallen cherub, the dragon, Satan, devil, however you want to take biblical revelation, God's definition is specific, selected, and extremely revealing. And it's aletheia. It's the Greek word truth, reality. That's what we're given by the Spirit of God. That's what opens our hearts, opens our eyes, gives us the ability to discern between good and evil, to know. As we engage Thursday night here, July the 8th, we are, we had done Monday already, called The Long History of Spiritual Warfare, The Dragon, the Son of God, and Prophetic Fulfillment. We did Tuesday night, Revelation of the Failure of the Ancient Dragon and His Final Fury. And then Wednesday night, we were going to be into the blood of the Lamb and the power of the blood of Christ and how any human being and how believers right now in Christ can overcome, have victory over the full force of satanic presence. After all, Jesus did say that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail. Now, again, in Christ and in obedience to his word, in reliance upon him and the use of that authority and the acknowledgement of the blood of the Lamb, John the Baptist, one of the greatest men in human history, in seeing Christ, screamed out, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now please, stop. Contemplate the words of John as he was filled with the Spirit of God. He saw the Spirit of God come down in fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy out of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord would be upon Messiah. There, without limit, the Spirit of God would come upon him for the ministry and the purpose. As you think in terms of the words of John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Lamb of God, I mean, it's already the glimpse of, the revelation of, the one led to slaughter, the one led to the cross, the blood that would be shed. The Old Testament's packed with types and shadow and prophecy concerning it. Isaiah 53 is very clear about a suffering servant by whose stripes, the beatings, we would be healed. And so, in this night, as we look at, Thursday's broadcast for Shatter the Darkness, this is the person, the knowledge, and we're going to touch on, again, the fury of the fallen cherub. And let me ask you, because I wrote this down in my notes. After I finished everything, I looked down and I wrote these notes. You know, why know this? Why do we need to know this? I mean, we can talk about the golf spill. We can talk about, you know, globalism and all things, politics, what Obama's doing, what, you know, the world around us is doing, the Russian spies, all the rest. We can talk about our daily lives and the things that we got to go through. You know, I had to, you know, live my life today and do the things that were necessary. And listen, on Thursdays, it's a partial day off, and so it's kind of like a lot of, you know, household chores too. But in the door that God has given us now, broader than ever, we want to supply the Thursday night broadcast. That is now, at this point anyway, only going to be linked onto the ShatterTheDarkness.net site. So if you want the Thursday night broadcast from Russ, from me, then you go to ShatterTheDarkness.net and look down on Thursday, the date, and link and click on there. Because we've opened the door for guest host Hawk to be on the live broadcast, and we'll be back live on Friday night. So we still will have five of these broadcasts during the week under the theme with titles, and we'll still do the Saturdays and Sundays. So I'm glad you're here with us. I'm glad that you are once again emailing in and telling us what you feel. And again, some astounding things have occurred because weeks ago we found out that the funding would end for the live program. We knew that thousands and thousands were involved and thousands would listen live and download the archives later. As we prayed through, because we were told that the gift and the offering of the free time slot was over. And so we prayed through it. We really felt we were still to be on. And so we opened the door to giving, for the first time in 2.5 years, a 60-second little commercial about funding all of Shatter's work, including the live project. And so I want you to know ahead of time that on all the broadcasts, there will be a 30-second to 60-second just little, we're going to make a little commercial. We don't sell commercial products. We don't have commercials, and we don't have business backing to all that is done. And when I say that, on a local level, conference level, individual counseling level, outreach evangelism level, on the hundreds and hundreds of MP3s, the courses that are now almost all of them free. And the good news is in the last 4 weeks, as we were plotting and planning, praying for the live show, a number of you, 4, 5, 6, 7, decided you wanted to see it there. And then we had a tremendous open door occur to where we would definitely, clearly be absolutely funded for the live show, and that the overall project of Shatter and Preemption Broadcast would be better empowered. And so we will say every once in a while in these small little commercials that if you think it's beneficial and you feel it would be beneficial for others, and as a believer feeling led, if you want to invest, simply go to shatterthedarkness.net, where it talks about the archives right there. Underneath, you'll see how can you help support this work. And let me say this. We are grateful. We have seen God move. We've seen incredible emails come in. And it looks very clear that we shall be here for months and months and months to be. And here's what has occurred, too. We found in the last 4 weeks in moving this direction that everything has basically doubled. I don't know if you understand hits. We don't look at this very much, but we did find out that it went from around 50,000 to 110,000 in 4 weeks. We noticed that there's been a massive jump in the live listening, but also in the downloading and in the countries. For all of our stuff off of Shatter and all of our sites, including this live broadcast and its archives. The archives have, they look like they have tripled to the point of quadrupled in the area of downloads. And by the end of 2010, it will be 1,600,000 or more downloads in 80 countries of the world. And I think that most know that the passion behind this is the commitment to prayer, commitment to ministry, evangelistic thrust, and, biblically prophetic warning. So we are grateful, and enough said, we need to spend the rest of our time on the subject matter tonight. Final solution? The Nazis. Well, it was played out on the field of human history, and there were people that were put into those rooms, gassed and killed, piled 10 foot, 15 foot high, and then shoveled into furnaces. Someone wants to know that, is that just mere humanity being, you know, radically evil? Is that just what we are? Are we just a conglomerate of unevolved, mean humanity? When we realize the majority know that it's wrong. I mean, it was kept from the German people. They attempted to hide it from the rest of the world. It was kind of a secret plot to get rid. And it all has a spiritual connection. even when Messiah was here, he talked about Israel and weeping over Israel. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often I would have taken you up under my wings, but you willed not. And so your house has left you desolate. There is this issue of the enemy's attack. Now, I'm going to tell you why I say that you cannot live life without understanding the spiritual, well, reality of God. I mean, in our original creation. I mentioned I was watching the Crystal Skulls last night, and it's, again, very, very intelligent people as far as books read, books written, film done, research, individuals that are just, you know, going anywhere and everywhere under the sea into caves looking for, you know, tracks of, well, I would call it the tracks of the dark gods, looking for origins, looking for endings. And it's right here. God, Christ, relationship, eternity. So as I watched that again last night, again, I'm seeing the issue of catastrophe, new world, and maybe that these skulls will all kind of appear in a circle and energies will come down wherever it's coming from, I don't know, and it will all save the planet. Crystal skulls will save the planet. Really? Why did Jesus get put on the cross, hung there? Why, a week later, was there no bones? I mean, 4 days later. I mean, the resurrection occurred, and there he interacted with the disciples for 40 days. And then there was the ascension, and now the session. And now it seems as though heaven is tipping, and everything is ready for a second coming. It is God that begins, infinite God, and it's infinite God that ends the radical finite evil, and he alone, God, with his creation, gives the new heaven, the new earth, the new start, the new everything. And it all begins with a relationship where, listen, the scripture says, you know, the old things pass away, behold, all things are new. We read about it in 1 Corinthians. It is an incredible revelation. In your life right now, I don't know all that you go through. I don't know all that you, what your ministry is. And again, if you're a seeker, if you are looking, we welcome, again, the psychics, the remote viewers, the Mayan researchers, the 2012ers, fine. I want you to know the Spirit of God motivates me. The Spirit of God, it's a supernatural motivation. It really is. I know that there are so many. When I did not know God, did not know the living Jesus Christ, I did not know this presence, I did not know this power, I did not know this love, I did not know this passion of God. I'm going to tell you that there's passion of God. God's not willing that anybody perish. God desires. There is a passion in God. Jesus, God in human flesh, did weep over the nation of Israel. But it was clearly, and by the way, I just got in the mail yesterday a new book that I had ordered. I have it outside. It's not here before me now. I was taking a look at it. It's about the Nazi regime and the occult backgrounds, and it really digs in, which a lot of the older historians did not. Many older naturalistic and even the psychologists that did kind of a psychoanalysis of Hitler and the regime, you cannot understand the Nazis' ideology, belief systems, dreams, plots, plans, secret science, secret agendas, final solution, the Godman race, Aryan issue, the Lebensborn genetically birthed, well, super race they desired. You can't understand any of that without understanding the spiritual backdrop behind the scenes. Just like right now, behind the scenes, do you think for a moment there's not a plot, a plan for the reduction of the populations? Do you think for a moment there's not a plot and a plan designed to create the chaos? I'm not just talking about destabilization economically. I'm not talking about just environmental issues occurring around the world. But I'm talking about the kind that's even beyond the final solution meeting, beyond the, well, listen, why did Judas go for money, 30 pieces of silver? And by the way, it was prophetically declared in advance that that's who would do it, what he would do, and for how much silver he would do it for. The betrayal of Christ was defined in advance. It is not defined because God made it happen. It's defined because God knows in infinite detail what was going to happen in the mix of the behind-the-scenes work. Remember again, the concept at the engagement with Christ, the temptation, Matthew 4? Satan loses again, but he goes away looking for a more opportune time. Listen, you got to understand the dark presence around the world, the ominous sense that even the WebBot research project picks up on. Whether you say it's oppression, a presence, energy, darkness, behind all of it is the entity who thinks, dreams, desires, envisions, who has emotion, who plots and plans with hundreds of billions, fallen angels and demons. A hierarchy of principalities and powers, cosmocrators, planos, spirits, masquerading as translucent angels of light. Counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. Can I say this very clearly? It's real. It's all real. When I sat in the temple, engaging the presences that were coming my way, it was all real. The Akashic Records, the concept is real, but deadly, lethal, and operative. The prince of the power of the air. Break it down. Ephesians 2. Break it down. The prince, the Greek word, ruler. The next word, the prince of the power, this concept, this kingdom, this he's of a domain. Of a domain, as if he has locality, as if he has a certain level of what he has rights to and where he operates out of. So he's the prince of a domain of the Eros, the immediate dense atmosphere encircling the earth. He's called there the spirit who is now at work, Greek word, supernaturally operative, in the lives and hearts of many. So again, he expresses his influence, his will, into the hearts and lives. There's no question. Into the lives and hearts and minds of Nazi leaders, Hitler, Himmler, Goebbels, all these others. There is influence. Judas is a incredible example of an individual whom Jesus knew did not believe in advance. You know, he didn't believe. He's hanging out because of the money. And he was greedy. And how can you be around Jesus for 3 years like that without sealing your heart? Such revelation, yet you got to understand, he closed the door on God, and this is the way to lose your soul forever. This is the way to utterly give yourself over to an unconscious, undetectable, but absolutely real, lethal influence. Judas, as Scripture shows, doesn't know what happened to him, other than the construct of his mind, heart, will, belief system, sold out against God's revelation, God's Christ. He utterly rejected Emmanuel and all that he saw, the miracles, the words. Can you imagine being there with Jesus? Watching him walk on water, watching him raise Lazarus from the dead, listening to his words, he and he alone, only he could speak. No one else has spoke the words, claims that Christ did. They are absolutely exclusive, nothing close to it. And yet not believe. We find that as a testimony in the Gospel of John when referring to the Pharisaical fake religious leaders of the day that literally made up a religion of their own, trying to use God as some do today. Doesn't work, doesn't help anybody, doesn't connect anybody. People like that aren't connected to God and they can't connect anybody. Judas wasn't connected to God, didn't know God, didn't have the Spirit of the living God on or in him. And right there in the room with the living Christ, after all that time, you see, the laws of engagement seal your heart against God in all of his revelation, close the door in God's face with every ounce of your being, and live in the depths of the sin nature, greed and lust and anger and whatever else. Be a willing servant of the depths of sin. And guess who can walk into your life, influence you, without you detecting it, without you knowing? That's true of military commanders, weapons developers, political leaders. Do you think for a moment, because you're in a position of political power, military assignment, it's all about the heart. It's all about the laws of engagement. If your heart, the Greek word kardia, the centrality of your mind, emotion, your choice, you, the depths of your being, if the door to your life is shut, shutting God out completely, hardcore, and yet your life is given over to greed, like Judas, probably even unfelt. Maybe he felt it, but it doesn't say in Scripture. Involuntary thoughts, involuntary influences. Talk about voice to skull. Talk about Ephesians 6 arrows that are sent by the evil one. Did Judas by himself conceive in his own mind, well, I'm going to get up, I'm going to get myself 30 pieces of silver, I'm going to betray Jesus Christ, I'm going to out him right here. The ideas came from a supernatural source into a vulnerable, hardened heart that had no capacity to detect what was happening to him. And remote viewers are like that, and psychics are like that, and deep Satanists are like that, and politicians can be like that, and military leaders can be like that. And I pray to God that you are not like that. May it be the Spirit of God has influenced you. You see, when God comes and the Word of God comes, the Word of faith, that by hearing you're enabled to call upon Christ to accept the Word of God, because there's power in it that liberates the human will, lifts the human will, lifts off the blinders of darkness, pushes the darkness back in every way. The Word of God is so powerful. It's not just authoritative and infallible. It's more than that. They are living words animated with, soaked, saturated with the living personal presence of God and with his personal intent. That's why the Word of God can say in the book of Hebrews that it's living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to penetrate. There is literally nothing like it. Now, there's the counterfeit doctrine, word. And that can be written out, or that can be just simply lodged in minds and hearts. And where the fallen cherub is launching the concept of spiritual evolution and evolution of human consciousness, wherever he's doing that. You know what's happening? You know where people are. You know, I listened to this the day before on the special on the Mayan civilization, which was astounding. Completely upside down. What is horribly bad is being looked at as wonderfully good. Incredible. And then this crystal skull thing last night, the absolute same thing in the concepts of an evolutionary process. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is that there is another agenda at work. Just as in the Final Solution, behind the scenes of human history, spiritual presence guided evil, sin-filled hearts that had already rejected Christ, like Judas, opened their hearts to the greed, and precept by precept, layer by layer, the laws of engagement. You know who was in that room? I'm going to tell you my opinion. The fallen cherub himself and deep demonic influence guiding the development of the ideology, of the law, of the plot, of the plan, the final solution that was to be implemented to erase a national group by the millions from the face of the earth. And I'm telling you, it was all forged in Hell's Kitchen. Implemented sometimes in the frog in the kettle approach. It's what's happening in politics. It's what's happening in military. It's what's been happening among the wealthy. When I say the wealthy elite, I'm talking about the, you know, God talked, you could be wealthy and use it as a power, as did both Old and New Testament individuals and people today. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, you're going to see where God, you know, where there's a raising up of money among the pagan world, among the secular world, among the world that rejects, doesn't know God, doesn't walk with God, that there is a sovereign work of God in the taking of it and then giving it for his purposes. And so it's very important for us to understand that it's not about even the money. It can be the root of all evil, but it is also, well, an implement of empowerment for things. It's all about the heart. It's all about the heart of Judas. It's all about the heart of the Nazis in that room, because it led to the actual horrific, almost inconceivable piling of bodies by the thousands and hundreds of thousands, cooking them. Well, then again, look at the Mayans. Again, if you've seen the special where researchers, well-known researchers and people who've been on talk shows and written books and been, you know, very big wigs, sitting on the steps where human blood was shed and the demons reveled. Now, after looking last night, and again, we're gonna delve in here again to Revelation 12, and the reason we're giving all of this background is because in looking at this tonight, the question again is, what does the fallen cherub know? This is vital for the body of Christ. I'm telling you, I believe there are people that are believers in Christ. They don't even believe there's a death. I mean, they have no clue. It's not a real thing. Yet they're being beat up constantly in warfare, and they don't know how to spiritually detect. They're not using the incredible armament of God. And this is what I saw with the New Age movement, and this is what I saw with, well, the specials I've seen lately. No recognition of the presence of evil is there, but it's all about the issue that mankind's just simply not evolutionarily evolved. We haven't evolved enough, and that there is a evolution. Where's the spiritual? What's behind the evolutionary development of a burst in human consciousness, a move to homo lomos, this idea of, almost godlike? Do we know where the concept comes from? It is a promise. It is now clearly communicated. It's Origins, Genesis 3. It's all nailed down. It's Luciferic. It is a spiritual didache. It has been implemented. It is a promise. It has dark force behind it. It has never been fulfilled, prophesied by God that it never will be. And by revelation of God, finite, even the fallen cherub, and the sum total of a third of the angels, and all of the forces of hell itself cannot evolve from finite, their finite stature, and become infinite God. They can't give eternal life. They can't produce it. And in the end, great white throne judgment, they can't save their own tails. Payday someday. Payday someday. And I'm sure that Hitler found that out. I'm sure that many Nazis did find that out. I'm sure that many that have been cruel. I'm sure Pharaoh found that out. I'm sure Herod found that out. I'm sure. That's why there's warning. See, our sin has already condemned us. Christ didn't come to condemn us. Our sins. The wages of sin is death and hell. But there is a compassionate and powerful arm of God, Christ, to rescue, pull us out of it. Yet I cannot, tell you tonight that there are, all these intelligent book authors and writers, and they're all, how come they can't see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image, the icon of God? He is the visible, seeable of the invisible. That's why Thomas finally fell down and cried out, "My Lord and my God." You ever read it in Corinthians where it does say, none of the rulers of that time, none of them would have crucified the Lord of glory if they would have known who he really was. But it's about the heart. It's about the operating presence of the dark side purposely doing what it can do to influence, guide, direct, implement without a person even knowing. And if we're lost and have a spirit that is dead to God and a conscience that has a sin code operative in it, then we're linked to 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age, small g, has and continues to blind the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see. That's Judas. That's the fellows behind the Final Solution. That's the men and women behind globalism, New World Order, coming chaos, the black nobility, the black flame, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them. God reveals that they are operative and working. They're indicators of how far along they've gone. But the vital thing then is seeing what is behind all of that. Well, what's behind all of that is, again, this entity behind the presence of and the physical, radical, horrific evil that we do see. You ever read Revelation 12:12? In this declaration of God, bringing the close and the hammer down on radical evil and then eventually stopping all of it. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what everybody really wants? Stop the war, stop the rape, stop the child abuse, stop the racism, stop the killing, stop the murder, stop the lies, stop the false, politics, and stop the false religion. Stop all of this. We want love, we want harmony, we want health, we want no disease, we want to live forever. Have you heard the words? Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ. That's the imprint that the whole world is being impacted by. There's millions and hundreds of millions still around the world coming to Christ. Revelation 12:12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, in reference to the end of days, of God bringing the hammer down and getting closer to the time when the visible return of Christ will be implemented. declaration. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe, the Greek word woe, it means woe. It means a dread, angst, declaration of something really heavy. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. Entity, real entity, has gone down to you. Rest of it says these words. He is filled with fury. He is filled with fury. I mean, have you ever seen somebody just go literally berserk? I mean, just lose it. It's one thing to be angry, one thing to be bitter, but then to go into a tirade, a rage. Again, go back to Psalm 2. Why, God asks, kings of the earth, nations, peoples, why? See, again, in the Hebrew, there needs to be that element of where there's the rage within the conspiracy. Why are they raging? They're conspiracy. They are conspiring with an emotional tirade. The devil has gone down to you, having great thermos. Thermos. You ever read that in the Greek? It is megas thermos. And this is a word. You can pronounce it thumos, but it's thumos. Just a simple little word. Fierceness. Indignation. Outbursts. It has the idea of a crazy rage. Raging in the world right now is a presence that is blackened, unredeemable, both by its own will and its fixed nature. Ezekiel 28 shows like a match. You light it, let it burn, then let it go out. Everything has changed. It is blackened. It can no longer be lit again. He desecrated his sanctuary. There was a disintegration of what he was. Jesus says there is, listen now, no truth, no aletheia in him. He zeroed out. It's all absolute father of lies, murderer, insatiable lust to be God, can't be. Kill, steal, destroy. Look to who he can devour. And so the declaration now, prophetically, is given in advance. And this declaration to the world, woe to those who are on the earth. Again, the word for those who are, well, the inhabitants of the earth. The earth dwellers. Again, a reference most of the time in the book of Revelation to those that are, well, given over to the Antichrist, gonna serve the Antichrist, a part of the Antichrist, the elitist, all of it, all of them together. So woe to them, woe, because to those inhabitants of the earth, the devil has come down to you with megas thermos, great wrath, anger, rage. Look why. I mean, just look why. Here it is, a simple reason why. Because he knows that his time, the time period, is short. The appointed time, the allowability because of the room that he's been given, it's short. So you and I living now with the coming chaos, afterwards the rise of another regime, yes, a massive spiritual planetary burst, dark side presence manifested as never before in human history. masquerading. I mean, I do. I'm concerned for the New Agers. I'm concerned for the 2012ers. I'm concerned for the Crystal Skull followers. I'm concerned. You know, I'm concerned for the guy that was on a well-known radio talk show last night. I got a letter today in the mail. Lynette, I appreciate this. And Greg, thank you for yours. And Tom, thank you for the incredible email I got from you. This one just says this. Hi, Russ. If you get a chance, please listen to. Well, I listened live. I was up late and actually didn't go to bed till about 5 in the morning. And here's what it says. I cannot believe how the enemy is using some people to pervert the message of Jesus. The guest says that Jesus is a member of a race of gods, small g. I want to thank you for spreading the truth of the message of redemption through Jesus Christ. God bless you. Now, Lynette has written before, and I appreciate it, and I thank you for listening, Lynette. And dear sister, I listened to a man that was called the UFO and Bible man, and he connects it, and he's supposed to be known for his Bible knowledge. And by the way, he did quote Scripture every single time, misused it. Every single time, even when he talked about how God wants us to be born again, God wants us to be made alive. And this is all about a evolution of our human consciousness, and it's all about enlightenment. In other words, with the kind of teaching that came from the Ascended Master Tibetan that guided Alice Bailey, the very things that were written in 1933 about how to take Christian terminology, biblical terminology, and completely twist it and turn it and make it mean something else. It was one of the most massive perversions of biblical revelation I've ever heard publicly. Let me say it again. It was one of the most massive public displays of scripture twisting, and I believe purposely intended deceit. Anybody knowing the scriptures at all would know that this was, let's just say it straight out, an absolute lie. Was there a spiritual presence behind it? I believe there is. This is a fellow that tried to combine biblical revelation with Hopi prophecies and all the rest of it, kind of a syncretism, and, you know, put it all together. But the worst of it was the quoting of things, and then again, what happens in every case, when it's not the Spirit of God revealing things and showing things to an individual, if it's not the Spirit of God you're being guided by and led by, but a finite spirit, planos, cosmocrator is what they're called, then there's no question you will be developing a counterfeit, alternative, spiritual system, spiritual teaching that will always be indicated by a presentation of Jesus as non-deity, non-specific, non-savior, a reductionism of the Word of God, of Jesus Christ, of God's will, God's love, God's purpose, and that is a damnable perversion. And that, my dear friends, is why the Spirit of God said in Galatians chapter 1 that anybody that does this, anathema. It is so serious a deceit, so serious a lie, that it can damage the ability for some to come out of darkness into the light of Christ and receive the gift of eternal life. May God, by the Spirit of the Lord, engage those in that discussion from last night. It's a sad thing that even what seems to be very kindly and nice individuals can promote the worst of deceit in a positive way. Tonight, as we look at the revelation of Revelation 12, the Spirit of God, again, God's revelation, it's one or the other for all of us. It's one or the other for all of us. It was one or the other in the life of Judas. It was one or the other in the life of the Germans that eventually chose, inspired by, and sucked into and promoted Nazism to the point that they took the fallen cherubs' intent and desire for the annihilation of Israel, and put it on paper, implemented it, and attempted it. And it will be attempted again. Listen, the plot, the final solution for Christians, real ones, the final solution for resistors, the final solution for Israel, you don't think it's already written? You don't think the meetings have already gone on? You don't think the breath of the fallen cherub has breathed that ideology and belief system, put it out into a playbook and plan book? I think that God has revealed that he has. I think that biblical prophecy has shown us that in the future, it will be implemented. But what we see in the future implemented is because the development of it has been going on. And that's what's happening right now. Listen, we're coming close to the end of the hour here on Thursday night, and we want to make sure this is up for everybody in time. I think, again, the question, why know about the fallen cherub, the dragon, the devil, Satan? Well, he's the enemy of the throne of God. He's operative in the world. He's the one that led you and I, the human race, into the sin issue, into the pain, into the destruction. Hell is because of him and his angels. The possibility of losing a soul is because of, well, our sin ultimately, but because there was a pool. Why the Nazis? Why so much other stuff? Why satanic ritual abuse? Why the shaking of everything? You know, the Bible prophesies, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Only the eternal, indestructible kingdom of God, the basileia, the rule, the reign. When you are born again of the Spirit of God, Christ coming into your life, you are part of that basileia, the realm, the rule, the indestructible kingdom of God. In the end, when all the dust settles, the glorified human race, every human being that did receive God's answer in Christ. And please know, God wants everyone, read about this in Timothy 2, in praying for the lost, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, Thelema, who desires, wills, wants all, pass anthropos, all people everywhere to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Whoever you are listening, whether live during the week, whether the archives, you must hear, I pray, the Spirit of God today as the gospel, good news. God loves you. You can come to know God in Christ. By faith, receive him into your life. Accept him for all that he is. Dive into the study of the Word of God. When you receive Christ and are born of the Spirit of the Lord, it begins a relationship that will last forever. Again, I want to encourage you to go to shatterthedarkness.net. Off to the left, a little ways down, there is just dynamic discipleship, about 7 or 8 messages for newer believers. How do you know that you're saved? What happens at the moment of salvation? How do you grow? How do you grow in prayer? How do you grow in the Word of God? How do you grow in worship? Those are all there. There is also a Blaze for God, little 15-20 minute devotional studies. And we're trying to add more and more and more. And even going through the book of John, we're trying to add all of that. But it's all there for you. And we're grateful to be here. And we're grateful for the way God has worked things out. It's really amazing. And God has demonstrated his fruitfulness. In the midst of a raging, dark, spiritual, operative work going on all around us, that we will see events striking, things occurring. Why are they going to occur so quick, so furious? So, well, because the devil has come down to us. He's furious. And he knows his time is short. Christ is coming. I pray that you know the living Christ. Blessings to you. This is Russ Dizdar. Good night.